Dearly beloved in Christ, in today's epistle from St. Peter, we read that he exhorted the people to seek after peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are upon the just and the countenance of the Lord upon them that do evil. And it struck me that St. Peter was telling the people that God sees everything we do, both the good and the bad. But taking it a step further, I think the same words point to the peace of conscience that the just experience and the discontent of the unjust and the sinful. Recently, in my spiritual reading, I came across a section speaking specifically on peace of conscience. And it was so well said that I thought I would give you a section of it verbatim. The author is the Venerable Louis of Granada, and the book is entitled The Sinner's Guide, if you wish to ever read it. The specific chapter is chapter 16. This is on the peace of a good conscience. God, who gives his creatures all that is necessary for their perfection, has planted the seed of virtue in the soul of man, and has endowed him with a natural inclination for good and an instinctive hatred of evil. This inclination may be weakened and perverted by the habit of vice, but it can never totally be destroyed. We find a figure of this truth in Job, where we see that in the calamities which befell the holy man, one servant always escaped to announce the misfortune which had overtaken his master. So the faithful servant, conscience, always remains with the sinner in the midst of his disorders to show him what he has lost and the state to which his sins have reduced him. This is still another striking proof of that providence which we have been considering and of the value God attaches to virtue. He has placed in the center of our souls a guardian that never sleeps, a monitor that is never silent, a master that never ceases to guide and sustain us. Epictetus, the Stoic philosopher, was deeply impressed with this truth when he said that as fathers are wont to entrust to their children a tutor who will prudently guard them from vice and lead them to virtue, so God, after creating man, confides him to the care of that interior guide which stimulates him to virtue and warns him against vice. But conscience, which is such a kind master to the just, becomes a scourge to the wicked. It tortures them with the remembrance of their crimes and embitters all their pleasures. Among these torments of conscience, one of the greatest is the hideousness and the deformity of sin, which is so abominable in itself that a heathen philosopher once said, "Though I knew that the gods would pardon me if I sinned, and that men would never know it, yet I would not take upon me a thing so abominable in itself." Another rod with which conscience scourges the wicked is the sight of the evil caused by sin, which, like the blood of Abel, seems to cry to heaven for vengeance. Thus we are told that King Antiochus, during his sickness, was so assailed by the thoughts of his past crimes that the grief they occasioned brought on his death. He died from the remembrance of his own sins. "I remember," he cried, "the evils that I did in Jerusalem, whence also I took away all the spoils of gold and of silver that were in it, and I sent to destroy the inhabitants of Judah without cause. I know, therefore, that for this cause these evils have found me, and behold, I perish with great grief in a strange land." The shame and dishonor of sin form another torment for the wicked. It is natural for man to desire esteem, but who can honor the sinner? It is natural for him to wish to be loved, but who is there who does not hate sin? To these miseries, let us add the fear of death, which never fails to haunt the wicked unless they are utterly abandoned. What comfort can they have in reflecting on the uncertainty of life, the thought of the terrible account they must render, and the anticipation of eternal torments? Consider the sentiments which such reflections must awaken in the sinner's breast, and you will form some idea of the torments of his conscience. Thus does Holy Scripture portray the torments of which the heart of the sinner is both the theater and the victim. A philosopher has wisely said that by an eternal law of God, it is ordained that fear should be the inseparable companion of evil. And this is confirmed by Solomon, who tells us, "The wicked man flees when no man pursues, but the just, bold as a lion, shall be without dread." This thought is also expressed by St. Augustine, who says, "Thou hast ordained, O Lord, that every soul in which disorder reigns should be a torment to herself, and truly it is so." But after that, he goes on to explain the joys of a good conscience as well. So I wanted to read you that section too. "Having thus seen the sad effects of an evil conscience, we will be enabled to realize more fully the blessed peace which the just enjoy. Virtue shelters them from the remorse and sufferings which have been described as the lot of the wicked. The consolations and sweet fruits of the Holy Spirit fill them with joy and transform the soul into a terrestrial paradise, where he is pleased to take up his abode. The joy of a good conscience, says St. Augustine, makes a soul a true paradise." And elsewhere he says, "Be assured, you who seek that true peace promised to a future life, that you may here enjoy it by anticipation, if you will but love and keep the commandments of him who promises this reward. For you will soon find by experience that the fruits of justice are sweeter than those of iniquity. You will learn that the joys of virtue, even in the midst of trials and misfortunes, far exceeds all the delights of pleasure and prosperity accompanied by the remorse of a bad conscience." And at the end of the chapter, Venerable Louis of Granada says, he endeavored to show us the great joy of practicing virtue, but he admits that this spiritual happiness is something that only experience can make us truly understand. Those who attain great heights in virtue know just what bliss it is to serve God. There is an unmistakable peace and a content that seeps into the soul and fills the whole being so as to transform them into a different person altogether. One who not only can truly appreciate the supernatural, but who knows what it really means to love God. So, dear friends in Christ, let us, as St. Peter says in his epistle, seek after peace and pursue it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.